Others often say they need solitude, quiet, and long periods of concentration to write. But Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie has yet another requirement. She needs to stay on the move. She's currently teaching writing at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, but she also spends extended periods of time in Nigeria. She's found that traveling between the two countries is good for her writing.
I know that Nigeria will always be my home, but I do want to have the opportunity to leave Nigeria because I find that sometimes I need to have distance. So I find that I write better about home when I'm here. And then sometimes when I'm back in Nigeria, I write about Nigerians who are in America.
Chimamanda Adichie sets Purple Hibiscus in the Nigeria of her youth. She lived in a small university town that kept her at a distance from the political upheavals of recent decades, but she always knew they'd taken place.
Usually my family would crowd around the radio when there was a coup, and then you'd hear a voice telling you that you had a new head of state and everybody had to remain calm. I think what you internalize is the choicelessness of it, that you really don't have a choice in who's in charge of your country, because, you know, if somebody decides to have a coup, all you have to do is listen to the radio and they tell you, well, there's a new head of state. And then I would hear about things happening. People were shot and killed, you know, people who would speak up against all the injustices of the government. But I think that I was lucky I wasn't immersed in them. Sometimes I wonder if I'd be able to write about them if I had been. I mean, there's so many people who went through terrible, terrible things, and their stories have to be told.
Chimamanda Adichie says she wrote Purple Hibiscus wanting to explore the role of religion in contemporary Nigeria. She believes it's a complicated subject for fiction, so she tried to lighten her story by telling it through the eyes of a young girl named Kambili. Like the author herself, Kambili is a Roman Catholic, part of Nigeria's Igbo Christian population. The story opens with Kambili and her family attending a Roman Catholic Mass administered by a British priest. Chimamanda Adichie reads from her novel.
Father Benedict had changed things in the parish, such as insisting that the Credo and Kyrie be recited only in Latin. Igbo was not acceptable. Also, hand clapping was to be kept at a minimum, lest the solemnity of Mass be compromised. But he allowed offertory songs in Igbo. He called them native songs. And when he said native, his straight-line lips turned down at the corners to form an inverted U.
While the author grew up in a Roman Catholic church administered by Nigerians, she wanted to write about what happens when native values aren't honored, when outsiders try to impose their own religious traditions on another country. She also wanted to examine the impact of religious extremism on both public and private life. She says Nigeria in recent decades has been devastated by conflicts between Christians and Muslims. In her novel, that same kind of fanaticism devastates Kambili's family.
The father is, on one hand, he's the good man who helps the community. He's very religious. He's very socially conscious. He owns a newspaper that speaks the truth at a time when nobody dares speak out because you could be killed, you could be thrown in jail, but he does because he believes very much in human rights and freedom. But at the same time, at home, he's very abusive of his family, and in a way that is even more heartbreaking because he sincerely thinks he's doing the right thing. He has internalized this sort of idea that you beat goodness into people, that sort of religious fervor that is unflinching.
The novel's heroine finds her life transformed when she goes to live with an aunt in the town where Chimamanda Adichie herself was raised. There she finds the kind of freedom and peace she didn't enjoy living in the city with her family. The author says she wanted to celebrate the idyllic town she remembers from her childhood. She grew up the daughter of a college professor, always writing stories and reading widely. She also absorbed the oral tales she heard as a child.
There's a scene in the book where the grandfather tells a story. I guess it was my way of paying tribute to that. I think for many young Igbo people, we have good memories of a grandfather, a grandmother telling a story like I did. My grandmother would tell us incredible stories about the tortoise and, you know, the elephant and things of that sort.
Chimamanda Adichie was attending medical school in Nigeria when she decided to start all over again, move to the United States, and pursue a career in the arts. While her distance from Nigeria offers her a new perspective on the social and political issues that concern her, she says coming to America has also given her a new appreciation for what she loves about her native country.
It's sort of confronting that very individualistic streak that's very American. You look out for yourself. And, you know, you sort of feel that you don't have that safety net. In Nigeria, there are cousins, and not just cousins, there are people from my hometown and people who know my father's friend and my father's father, you know, and they're there for you. It's just something I admire, and also patience. I admire very much. Nigerians have incredible patience, and I think that after living here, I'm losing it. I mean, I'm starting to become impatient. So I go back home, and in Nigeria, you go to the airport and you ask them when is the flight coming, and they say anytime, and anytime can be 6 hours, right? And people sit there and wait, and I start losing it. Like, where is this? But it's the sort of thing I appreciate because this is the life they have.
Chimamanda Adichie says she plans to continue dividing her time between Nigeria and the United States, juggling values and shifting literary settings. She's now working on another novel set in Nigeria during the Civil War of the late 1960s. For Coast to Coast, I'm Nancy Beard.